Dear Cheap Astronomy, what will our first lunar colonies look like? Well, we are getting closer to finding out. Artemis 2 should launch next year, and Artemis 3, the landing, will happen sometime after that. And from there we will move towards starting a colony. When I say we, okay, I mean NASA, but the Chinese may not be that far behind, and what really matters is what humans do. And when I say colony, that whole concept is not well defined. It's probably better to say we'll build a base, and it's not all that likely it will be crewed by more than fly-in, fly-out workers, and maybe the odd billionaire tourist once things settle down. Living in the early stages won't be exactly easy, but it might get easier as we learn how to do things there. The International Space Station took 13 years to be built, from the first module in 1998 until there were 10 modules in 2011, when it was called officially complete, although after that it ended up with 16 modules by 2021. Any lunar base will similarly start small, with further growth not only depending on more modules being added, but also a more reliable power supply being built to maintain them all, presumably in the form of solar panels, although nuclear is an option. Even from the early stages, any lunar base will need regular supplies, certainly of food, and also water in the first instance. Presuming we are right that there are chunks of water ice available for harvesting, we still have to do that harvesting, and then we'd probably want to distill whatever we find, and eventually feel confident the supply is reliable enough to tell Earth not to ship any more water out. There's nothing too complex in all those steps, but it does require infrastructure and equipment which won't fit into the first supply drop. In any case, all those supplies will not be delivered to your door. Instead, a landing pad would need to be established a fair distance from the living modules. Since landings, refueling, and takeoffs do carry some explosive risk and will also kick up a lot of dust. So to move supplies from the landing pad to the living modules, we'll want vehicles. Maybe eventually a train on rails, but since you'd also want to explore, we'd start early with all-purpose rovers. And note, we mentioned dust. Obviously, there are major engineering challenges around maintaining a pressurized living compartment and maintaining its temperature, not to mention dealing with all the major dangers of cosmic rays and meteorites, which will probably mean the base gets built underground. But then, there's what Gene Cernan, the Apollo 17 commander, described as one of our greatest inhibitors to a nominal operation on the moon. Regolith, or lunar dust. Lunar dust is fine-grained, highly abrasive, and highly electrostatic, which means it tends to stick to everything. Not surprisingly, it's also unpleasant to breathe, and there are suspicions that long-term exposure to it may be carcinogenic. Its sticky and abrasive nature also means it's unlikely to be machine-friendly, and so could cause all sorts of problems if it gets into the base. So, we not only need airlocks, we need dust locks. There have been some spacesuit designs suggested, where the suit is always on the outside, so you climb into them through a hatch, and then seal and detach the suit to walk around outside. On your return, you reattach the suit to the hatch, and exit again. It's a nice idea, but maintaining those suits from the inside only would be very challenging. If you instead decide to bring the suits in, say once every 5 days for proper maintenance, then you're bringing in 5 days worth of dust. So it's not clear that much would really be gained. A more likely scenario is that you'll enter an airlock, drop your suit, walk into a dust room, drop your clothes, then walk past fans and a giant vacuum cleaner in the floor to the shower room, and then put on fresh clothes. This might at least limit how much dust gets further into the living quarters. So again, you need a whole bunch of infrastructure that won't be available to the first crews and bases, but over the years we could build up to it. Of course, that brings us to cheap astronomy's usual theme about the economics of it all and whether anyone is really willing to invest enough to actually build it all up. We couldn't really see the point in more missions after Gene Cernan's, and now, 50 years later, the main motivation for returning seems to be FOMO, the fear of missing out. That is, if one country wants to do it, then others will automatically want to do it as well. But hey, civilization has often progressed for pettier reasons than that. So, Ad Astra, and what the heck?